Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's good, everybody? Welcome into the Early Edge and the most important hour of the entire week. Our week 12, hard to believe, NFL mega preview. We get you set with our best bets, our leans, numbers that we think are going to change, and just kind of a lot of information that you can use this entire week. Remember, we got Thanksgiving. We have Sunday. A lot of games. No teams are on a bye this week. Now, also, if you missed Early Edge in 5, we had a pick for all 4 World Cup games tomorrow. I encourage you to go watch that on demand to get set for what has started out to be a really cool tournament in the other football. But this is about American football. Let's bring in the stars of the show. You know them, you love them, live from Nashville, Tennessee, the penthouse level. M Squared, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Coach. RJ, great to see you there. Ready for this week in the NFL, one of the most unique weeks in all the Thursday games, holiday for teams, players, everyone involved. Just a different week in the league, but always fun to tackle. Let's get to it.
You're damn right. He is the stoic one. He runs everything NFL at Sportsline. He is RJ White. RJ, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. A great day of football already in the books, including one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history with Argentina going down to Saudi Arabia. To put that in context, it would be like if the Houston Texans lost a game or one beat a another professional football team, any of them, pick any of them, and it's like the Texans beating them.
You are a savage. You are an absolute savage. But that was plus 2,500 for Saudi Arabia to pull off that upset. We were on the over, of course. Thank goodness, over 2.5 for that game. All right, of course, our mega preview, as always, brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook and Casino. Last week, as a group on our best bets on this show, show you how important it is to try to beat the number. 7-2 collectively. That includes the Maestro going 3-0 right here on the show. Mikey and RJ each went 2-1. We will take that every single week. So let's dive in. Thanksgiving slate, 3 big games. The first one, the Bills playing in the same building 4 days apart, taking on the Lions live on CBS.
Thursday, it's a football feast featuring 2 hungry teams that promise to serve up some points. When Josh Allen and the Bills make the trip to the Motor City to challenge the Lions.
He pulled it in for the touchdown.
Thanksgiving Day, the NFL is on CBS.
You cannot have a better way to start. And RJ, we're going straight to you because this is your team. And last week they got it done, but it seems like they've kind of regressed a little bit. Josh Allen says he's healthy, not playing as good as he used to. But what's your best bet in this game?
Line here is 9.5. I think that's far too many points with a Detroit team that looks like it's going to be competitive from here on out. I got a best bet Detroit plus 9.5. 3 straight wins for the Detroit Lions while getting severely outgained in yardage. And that's thanks to turnovers. Their defense getting it done turnover-wise. I was a little skeptical when they got 3 red zone interceptions of Aaron Rodgers that they could continue. Then they got the easiest pick 6 you'll ever see against Justin Fields the next week. So I don't know if I wanted to bank on that. And then they face a Giants team that doesn't turn the ball over. And they generated 3 turnovers against them. So something might be going on here with this defense, being able to create turnovers. We know the offense is going to be strong, great offensive line, getting healthier on the offensive side of the ball. DJ Chark probably going to play a little bit more this week. Jameson Williams returning to practice. This Buffalo offense somehow leads the league in turnovers per game. Finally had a clean game against Cleveland, but they chose their brutal travel over staying in Detroit. I think they're likely going to be sluggish early. I think Detroit's strength in the trenches can keep them in this one, especially if the turnovers continue for them, considering how much Buffalo has turned the ball over.
The whole thing didn't make any sense to me, RJ. The waiting till the snow had already come to get out and then going back. And then it just doesn't make any sense. Stay in the same hotel for 5 days. It doesn't seem that hard. But Mikey, as we look at the total, 54, the Bills used to be an over team. It doesn't seem like they are anymore. How do you see this game script going?
Yeah, I see the game being competitive with enough points to get it close on this one. I have the slightest of leans towards the under, having it come in around 52 points. You know, it's to a spot where I'm not going to touch it just in the controlled environment. I think the Bills are obviously the better team still, but what they will do is kind of let teams hang around and play a little bit down to their competition at this point. The Lions, we always like this offense when they're playing at home in the controlled environment. So I'm not going to touch it. We do have a lean on the under. My number on the side is 8.3, so a little bit of a lean towards the Detroit Lions as well. I've elected not to play both of those so far at this point, but that's where we lean. Slight lean on the under, slight lean on Detroit.
Okay. It also feels like Josh Allen is starting to press a little bit, almost like, you know, he was for several weeks the leader in the MVP voting, and now it feels like he's making some bad interceptions, making some bad throws, trying to do a little bit too much, and that can keep a team, as you guys just said, hanging around. Game number two on Thursday. Mikey, coming right back to you, because this is one of your best bets. Now, if you were on the Cowboys-Vikings over last week like I was, what a bad beat. If you just look at the score and say one team scored 40 and it didn't go over 48 or 49, what? But the Vikings were terrible, 40-3. Cowboys were rolling. They're laying 9 to a Giants team who just lost to the Lions. Total 45.5. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go under the total of 45.5 here. Never really fun when you have a team like the Cowboys that can run it up offensively. Definitely make them the better team here. They are steadily rising the power rankings as well. Into a top 5 team for sure in the NFL right now, but you could argue top 3 or 4 at this point. But they've got both running backs in there with Pollard and Zeke. That's going to keep the clock rolling a little bit. The Giants know their recipe for success here. If this game gets to the point where the other team is scoring more than 24 points, they're probably not winning the football game, and they know that. Look for a game plan that represents that in this game. It's a division game, rivalry game, short week here. Just all the things that have a making of a little bit of an under game here. So at 45.5, I think the number on this one should be 42.5. Gets you down through some pretty key numbers here in the NFL. So I'm expecting a game with the clock rolling a lot. You've got Saquon, you've got Daniel Jones, also likes to run a little bit. Just keep that clock rolling. Look for a relatively competitive game that Dallas pulls away at the end. And we stay under this total of 45.5.
Yeah, RJ, whenever you have a divisional matchup, NFC East, it always like slugging it out. They know each other so well. But when you look at the side of this game, we talk about the under, but the side is 9. And last night, San Francisco had no issues covering 8, covering 9. But we have seen historically this season that anything over 7 and 8 is very difficult to lay. What do you see in this one?
Yeah, this line jumped 2 points after two extreme week 11 results with the Giants falling apart there and the Cowboys doing anything they wanted to against the Vikings. I'd normally be looking to fade off of that, those two extreme results, but my power ratings have this line as high as 9.5, and it's a major mismatch with that Giants offense 31st in sack rate going against Dallas defense at first in the league in sack rate. Daniel Jones is not going to have any time to throw. Maybe they can scheme something around that, but at some point it just becomes difficult, especially when receivers keep getting hurt. Giants wrecked by injuries on Sunday, including DeWandale Robinson. Adoree Jackson, you ask any Giants fan, they couldn't believe he was back there returning punts when he's so indispensable to that defense. Like, what are you doing? You're going to get this guy hurt. And then, of course, he goes and gets hurt, you know. So good job by the Giants for doing that. I just think that the steam is kind of running out on them. Dallas offense top 400 yards in 3 straight after not getting there all year. Feels like they're really rounding into form. I'm not going to play it because the line's too high for a divisional game for me, but I don't really want to play the Giants right now.
That makes a whole lot of sense. And come Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, we'll see exactly what it feels like right then if any more information comes on this game. But right now, the Cowboys, they are rolling. Neither team can afford to lose this one. All right, now, the last several years, there's been 3 games on Thanksgiving. We love it. 8:20 Eastern time, the total 42.5. The number, a little surprising to me, 2.5. But that's why I have you guys. The Patriots last week scored 10 points without an offensive touchdown, without a defensive touchdown. One of the dumbest decisions ever to punt to a player with 20 seconds to go in the game. But they did it, and the Patriots took it back. They now travel to Minnesota to take on a team that got embarrassed in front of their home fans, and they're right back home again. So, RJ, start us off. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, I have the Vikings as a best bet at -2.5. Got to get it at the 2.5 number. The New England offense played better than the score indicated, even though they weren't putting up points. Minnesota's offense really didn't in that game. It's easier defensive matchup for New England offense this week, and that's not really the case for Minnesota, although I do think it is slightly easier to play the Patriots than the Cowboys last week. But Minnesota has a strong home field advantage generally that I have worth 2.5 points. So that's saying, this line is saying these teams are even. I don't think they're even. I still think the Vikings are better. They're going to be focused after this embarrassment. The New England defense has been dominant their last few games, but they've played Sam Ehlinger and Zach Wilson. I don't know how much that's worth when you're facing a competent offense with a competent quarterback. Offensive line injuries to worry about on both sides. Christian Darrisaw for the Vikings at left tackle. But that center injury for New England with David Andrews hurt, I think, is really going to come into focus here, because they have to play in a tough road environment with the noise going on in Minnesota Stadium, that horn blaring. Going to be really tough for a center to come into this game and play well in this environment. So I don't expect much from the New England offense here. I think the Vikings can cover this number.
By the way, Jeffrey, a couple of games ago, said in the chat, I know I'm tailing RJ on this one. Then he said, RJ, you're currently his 77th favorite person in the world and climbing fast with each time they cash your play.
I'll take it. 77, I believe Ray Bourque's number. It's a pretty good number to be associated with. So yes, Willie Rofe too on the NFL side. So pretty good.
There you go. That is pretty good. Now, Mikey, you also agree with RJ's take and his bet. Tell me why.
Yeah, we're going Vikings -2.5 here. Look, I've been on the Patriots quite a bit. I love their defense. I think their defense is legit. Like RJ said, they did have two relatively easy matchups in terms of quarterback play on the other side. But now we're going on the road, short week here. Like the spot as they bounce back for Minnesota. I've been saying Minnesota is relatively fraudulent most of the season here. I still think this is a great bounce back spot. My worry on the New England side is, can they do enough offensively to get a win in this kind of game? I think they're going to struggle to keep up if the win requires more than 14 points, which it likely will in this particular spot. I was encouraged on the New England side seeing Damian Harris back. He ran really well in that game. I still think it's going to be a mix of him and Ramondre Stevenson, though. Ultimately, I think Justin Jefferson becomes too much to contain. And the Patriots offense, like I said, they just haven't had the ability to throw down the field very well. And I don't think it's going to start here in this particular environment. So the number in my power ratings or simulations, it's right here. Like, there's not a massive edge on it. It's just a spot that I have identified. I make it 2.9, right at the 3-point line. Love it here under 3 at 2.5. I think it's a good bounce back spot for the Vikings. So,
man, if they're going to be professionals and they want to fight for that number one seed, you got to win games like this. You have to, especially when you're embarrassed like you did last week. I think this is a great spot, a great feel spot as well. All right, those are the three games on Thanksgiving. There are 7 at 1 o'clock on Sunday. As I said, there are no bye weeks this week for anybody. Everybody is in action. They will be on the field. First game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, Falcons traveling to D.C. to take on the Commanders. Now, after a 1-4 start, the Commanders have won 5 out of 6. Now, I know this will probably change, but if the playoffs were happening today, all 4 teams in the NFC East would be in the playoffs. That's hard to do, but again, we got more games to play. I get it, but that's how good this division has been. Commanders laying 3, total 42. Mikey, are the Commanders for real?
I don't think so. I think they're okay. They're not quite an average team. They're bunched up in that range of teams that could potentially be average, depending on how you group them. But Atlanta's been basically the same thing on the other side. So getting this number at 3, I have to lean that way. I make the number 3.9, so basically -4 in this particular matchup. Like that they're playing on their home field, but not a team that I think is going to see a consistent result and consistent effort week after week. Love to hear RJ's thoughts on it. I haven't played it. This is basically where I thought the number would be. These teams, the market's basically saying these teams are essentially even. Would love RJ's take on it, but again, I make it closer to 4.
RJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted Washington at three, even with their bad home field advantage that I was harp on, because they're definitely better than Atlanta to me, especially an Atlanta team that now doesn't have Kyle Pitts. The market has moved this number up to four now, and I think I've seen 4.5 in some spots, but it's basically four everywhere. To me, that's just a lean on Washington. I mean, I'm surprised the Atlanta offense didn't do more versus Chicago's defense, just 2 of 9 on third downs. To me, that's a big red flag. I don't know how they're going to move the ball now with Pitts hurt. Washington's defense dominated an awful Houston offense. I know it's Houston, you say you have to discount them for that. Anybody can dominate Houston, but they've been playing great for weeks, getting healthy on the defensive line. Mariota could be under siege all day, especially if Atlanta falls behind and he's forced to throw. I know there's been situations where he should have been forced to throw in the past and they just keep running the ball. But if they have to throw it, I mean, they're going to probably lose this game, even could be by double digits. So it might be a hammer spot for some of the alt lines that I know Mikey likes to play. Atlanta's defense doesn't get pressure. So I think Heinicke can pick apart this Atlanta defense and Washington can run away with this. I get the move up to four. At four, it's too much for me. I was all willing to play it at three. But right now, it's just a strong lean on Washington.
All right, fair enough. By the way, Atlanta has yet to have their bye week. They are 5-6, a half game back of Tampa Bay. So they're still alive because they're in a bad, bad, bad division. Quick chat question for Mikey from Rebecca. Would you put the Patriots in a teaser?
I don't mind it. However, I think that there's such a wide range here, and I do think that this Vikings team has the potential to blow them out. It's crazy as that sounds. If I were going to tease that game, as crazy as it sounds, I'd likely bring the total up and go under before I would tease with the Patriots side. Just more of a gut feel than an actual math-based play on it. That's kind of where I'm at there. I think it's a really, really, really big bounce back spot for Minnesota. So I'm not going to touch teasing the Patriots on the side. I think the path to them covering the side is the total being under that alternate number.
Always smart ways, always looking at different ways to go. That's why we ask him. I always forget about teasing if you want to play a number, teasing it up or teasing it down if you want to play the over. I always forget about that, but it's a smart way to do it. Thank you, Mikey. All right, next game at 1 o'clock on Sunday, the Ravens. We said the number was way too high, RJ, against the Panthers. It was 14. They ended up winning by 10, 13-3. They're traveling to Jacksonville. Last time we saw them, respectful effort. They still lost by 10 to Kansas City. Total 43.5. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the under in that game last week with the Ravens with how good their defense is playing. I like it this week too, except it's been dropping now down to 43.5. I think it was 45.5 earlier in the week. Baltimore's defense continuing to rise toward elite status to me, and I'm not really that worried about the offensive dud for their offense in that game. Jacksonville with 2 weeks to prepare, though. I don't think the offense has much success in the matchup with how good Baltimore's defense is playing. And the Jacksonville has allowed 20 plus points in 5 straight, despite in those games facing teams like the Colts, the Giants, the Broncos, the Raiders, not dominant offenses in any stretch of the imagination. So I think the Ravens can cover this number, even with the Jaguars on big rest. But my better play would be to the under, even though it's coming down because it's at 43.5 now. It's only a lean for me.
What do you think, Mikey, with the Ravens' numbers sitting where it is? These have been two teams that props have been very, very difficult because they've had so many injuries to their talent players. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I think RJ nailed it in the fact that the Ravens' defense is improving at the right time for them. I like the Ravens' side in this game. I make the number 5. You know, you can play it here at 4 if you want to. I think it could be a potential in-game opportunity as well. The issue you have with the Ravens in these kind of games is they do play to the level of the competition a little bit and just survive and get wins. Having said that, I think they're significantly better team. I've not been a believer in the Jacksonville side. We'll see how they respond coming off the bye. If they weren't coming off the bye like that, I probably would be all in laying the -4, but I think the number would again probably be -5 if they weren't well rested like this. Lean towards the Ravens side, not going to play it at this point. Also lean on the under a little bit. Potentially the best look in the game might be the Jaguars team total under.
Very, very interesting. By the way, whenever teams go to Jacksonville, it's like they go into a vortex and like everything that we think could happen usually doesn't. So probably the smartest thing is to lay away. You know what I mean? By the way, Hal 9000, make sure you get your information right before you try to take a shot at one of my cappers. Melvin Gordon over 9.5 receptions, worst prop prediction ever. Well, Hal, it would have been if that was the play, but even Cooper Kupp does not have over 9.5 reception as a prop. It was 9.5 receiving yards, which we cashed, by the way, before he got cut by the Broncos. So Hal 9000, step it back, stop typing, get your information correct. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, next game. Who's going to play quarterback here, RJ? Who's going to play quarterback? Bears, boy, it's such bad news if it is indeed season ending for Justin Fields. He has been, at least his effort's been awesome. Hasn't made all the right plays, but at least the Bears have been competitive. Now they travel to the Jets. Jets will land 4.5. 39.5 is the total. And remarkably, when asked directly if he felt like the offense let the defense down, Zach Wilson said, without blinking an eye, no. No. No passing yards in the second. No. Okay. But this is one of your best bets this week. Talk to me.
Love the Jets here at -4.5. Don't know who's going to play quarterback. To me, it doesn't really matter on either side of the ball. And that's because Justin Fields' side, if he plays, I don't think he's going to be 100%. If he does play, I would make this line Jets -4.5, which is where it is. And I would probably lean to the Jets because they have a great defense that's becoming one of the best 4 or 5 in the league, I think. The huge initial move here, because it was 3.5, went up to 6, made it feel like Fields wouldn't play. And that's kind of what the information was telling us. Coaches came out, said he was, the report came out, said it was day to day. And it sounds like they're optimistic he's going to play this week. So I think that's why it's moved back to 4.5. Some people playing the Bears +6 has moved it back down to this number. If he doesn't play, I think the line should be Jets -10, even with their offense in disarray after that New England dud. The last time the Jets faced a defense not in the top 10 of yards per play, they scored 27 points in Green Bay. Get right spots don't get any better than facing this undermanned Chicago defense. So you play whoever you want on the Jets side. It's not going to be worse than it was last week, and they're going to have a matchup advantage against this Bears defense. So 4.5 should be the line if Fields plays. If he doesn't, I'd put it all the way up to 10. That's why I think best bet, Jets -4.5 is a great play because there's so much upside if he's ruled out.
Mikey, to RJ's point, the Bears have been scoring a lot, but it's all because of Justin Fields and giving up a lot. So if Justin Fields isn't in there, I think he's spot on. It should be 9 or 10 at least.
Yeah, no, I could not agree more. I think the number should be 5.5 to 6 right now, given all the information that we have. If he were to be ruled out, I think the number's literally 10.5. I think it goes through 10 is where it should be. I think there's a significant drop off there. You mentioned one thing about Justin Fields. While he hasn't always made the best decisions, he's thrown a pick six. He's turned the ball over a little bit. He's also done the exact opposite in terms of extending drives, extending plays, done some very miraculous things out there that is really difficult for any other quarterback to replicate. I don't think they're going to have much success there. So like I said, I think this number should be 6 right now at this point, and it should balloon over 10 if he's not playing. So I love RJ's side here with the Jets.
And this is a perfect spot. We tell you at home all the time, the reason we do this show on Tuesday is for spots like this. Get the number before it shoots up. As soon as that story comes out, you know it's going to change. You know it's going to change. Don't be caught on the wrong side. Matthew says, good Lord, this Capper crew is money. Pun intended. Matthew, thank you very much. We love doing this show, and we do it because of people like you. So thank you very much. All right, this next game, and we like to joke sometimes that we will not watch 1 minute of a game, and this feels like one of those games. The Broncos blew it again. Blew it again against the Las Vegas Raiders. But they're laying 2.5 on the road at the Panthers, who only scored 3 last week with the Fighting Baker Mayfields. Total 36. RJ, talk to me. What do you like in this one?
You say not watch 1 minute of this game. I think it's appointment viewing because it's Sam Darnold week again. We get the guy that sees ghosts. And how often do you get to see ghosts on a football field here? But no, with this line, Broncos 2.5, like I wrote it down in my spreadsheet I did on my prep. I didn't process that this game was in Carolina. I just assumed Broncos laying 2.5, they had to be playing at home. But lo and behold, they're on the road laying 2.5. I don't know how you can do that with this offense. They did have a solid 5.2 yards per play against Vegas, but it's one of the worst defenses in the league. This Vegas team can't get pressure. Then they disappear in the second half. I can't trust this offense at all. Their defense actually had a dud versus Vegas. They have had 9 to 10 games of theirs have finished at 38 points or less, which is why this total is all the way down to 36. Carolina defense coming off a second straight good game. Just this is the matchup for them to shine here against this Denver offense. They can't do anything. That means the Carolina offense can run the ball, stay in the game since Denver doesn't score. And with this very low total, perfect time to tease it up through teaser rally, the 3 and the 7, get Panthers plus 8.5 as the first leg of my teaser.
Mikey combined 6 and 15 for these two teams straight up on the field this year. I don't know I've ever seen a team rotate 3 quarterbacks throughout the first 10 or 11 weeks of the season, but this is exactly what we have seen. So where does it stop for you this week on this game?
Yeah, I mean, the computer wants you to play Carolina at this point. We make the game a pick 'em, essentially, maybe even a half-point favorite for the Panthers on their home field. Look, it's not a great spot for either team. There's so much variance in terms of what we're going to get out of the quarterback play. You know, Denver's offense, there have been flashes where they look like they're competent. Other times they have not been at all. You're right in terms of a game you're not going to want to watch. So I think the only way to play this, honestly, is to tease it. It's at a super friendly number with the home team getting the 2.5, get you through 8.5, just like RJ's done. The issue that you might have, RJ doesn't have the issue. He's obviously got the teaser in. I haven't identified a second leg of the teaser that I absolutely love yet, but I do like the Panthers side a ton at 8.5 in teasers.
Okay. Matthew says this game is for Hackett's job. I wouldn't touch this game, and I'm a Broncos fan. Be very careful when you're firing a coach in the first year and they have a 4 or 5 year deal for $20 million. They're going to get that $20 million. NFL teams don't care as much as college, but it's still a factor, still a factor. All right, this next game, the Maestro, it's one of his best bets that he sent in when this number was 12. It's now moved already to 13, total 46, Texans in Miami. And don't look now, RJ, but the Miami Dolphins are tied at the top of the AFC East with your Buffalo Bills at 7-3, and they are flying as high as we've seen in many, many years. But we're concerned about the numbers, and the number here is 13.
Yeah, look ahead move from 9.5 to 10.5 before Sunday. There was already taking action on Miami, moving it through a relatively key number of 10, which is interesting. I thought that it needed to move more. And then sure enough, Texans, you know, had a complete dud, reopens 11.5, 12. Now it's up to 13. I liked it at 12. I'm completely on board playing him at 12. I actually have the game in my ratings at 16.5. You see these games every year that will have a 17-point game every once in a while. And with a team as bad as the Texans, I think that that should be this game. The Dolphins aren't getting enough respect by the market still, you know, coming out of their bye. Houston couldn't take advantage of a bad spot for Washington last week. I think they're done. The only concern I have here is Miami after this game, which is a complete look ahead. You know, we're going to beat the Texans. Don't worry about this game. Next, they travel to San Francisco to face Mike McDaniel's old team in the 49ers, which looks like one of the best teams in the league right now. So possible look ahead spot. That's why once it got to 13, I wasn't as interested in playing it. But if they want to, I mean, they could win this game, not like a Cowboys-Vikings type of score here.
It might be one of those games, Mikey, where we lean into the props because the Texans, they can't guard anybody. And, well, the Dolphins have two receivers who are already killing it against teams that can guard people. So do you think the prop market is going to be busy for this one?
I think it might be, but I think you'll want to be careful with it, though, just because the game is projected to be so lopsided here. We might see some shorter fields. We might see more running the football. We might not show as much looking ahead to the San Francisco game, like RJ mentioned there. So as crazy as it sounds, you know, I'll have daily fantasy plays probably with the Dolphins. There's a chance that we'll lean on a Tyreek over, but for the most part, I'm staying off of this one. Like RJ said, they have the ability to go win this by 25 to 30 points. Like, I don't think that is unreasonable at all. As far as the computer number on it, I make it 11.5. You could make the argument to 14, 15, 16 pretty easily, though. So it's not a comfortable one. There's no real motivation to go absolutely crush them at this point, in my opinion, for Miami. I think it's just get in, get out with a win. So I'm going to stay away from it just with all of those factors, the holiday week, all the different travel for everyone involved. It's just not a situation that I want to get in on at this point. However, I do think the game closes at 14. So if you like it, go play it now before it gets to that number.
You just reminded me of a conversation I had with a NFL analyst when I was at ESPN, and he told me that the week of Thanksgiving and the week after is really when your bodies are really starting to break down. And what you just said, all they're trying to do is get in and get out with the win. And that's the mentality after Thanksgiving, because you're just trying to get to the playoffs then. So as Mikey said, be very careful, because even the players understand how tired they are getting. It's now week 12, and this is a brutal game, and they get tired around December. All right, this next game, very, very, very important for Tampa Bay. They're laying 3.5. They're at Cleveland, taking on the Browns. The Browns last week had a miracle over as they scored a touchdown with less than 25 seconds to go in the game. Way to go, boys. Way to go. Now, total sitting at 43. Mikey, the maestro loves the Bucks when it is 3. It's gone up to 3.5. Do you still like it with the hook?
I don't, but I didn't like it to begin with. I like the Browns side in this one. Look, I make the game -1 for Tampa, and I would argue you could make them a pick 'em. So I think the Browns are getting a little bit of disrespect here on their home field. Look, Amari Cooper's been up and down all season, had a great game last week. He's been much better at home than on the road so far this season. I think it's one where the game ultimately ends up being super competitive, and I would feel very skeptical laying more than the 3. If you like the Bucs side, I think it's great to have it at 3 or less, but getting above the 3.5 here, I personally would offer a little caution there at that point. I think that this Cleveland team can still have a little success with Chubb and can still find some success through the air, and I don't think their defense is as terrible as we think they are.
I tend to agree with you. And RJ, the one caveat of that, or the one thing I would ask you, is the last time we saw the Bucs, it wasn't the prettiest, but they still covered against Seattle. And you saw a very fired up Tom Brady. His jersey, by the way, was the number one seller in Germany for that game. Not a shock. So with the Bucs having that victory and now being all by themselves a half game ahead of Atlanta, did you see that as a game that could propel them to get this offense started?
Yeah, their offense has been trending upward. I think getting Rashad White mixed in more, it only benefits them. And I know Fournette's dealing with an injury, so we might see him more in this one. Their defense is excellent in 2 games before the bye. And you know, if you're playing very good defense, it makes things easier on Tom Brady in the offense. Their offense is first in interception rate and sack rate. So I think this Cleveland defense is in for another long week here, because they're not going to be able to exploit matchups in this game. My numbers say, I kind of agree with Mikey, say that it should be Browns like 1.5. Or Buccaneers 1.5 or so the value would be on the Browns. But I loved playing Tampa Bay at 3. I think it's a great spot for them. Cleveland offense 1 game away from getting Deshaun Watson, who's been back in practice. How focused are they going to be in this when they know the future is coming next week? Brissett coming off a good game but couldn't keep up with Buffalo's offense. I think the same could happen here if that Buccaneers offense looks as good as it should moving forward. The only concern I do have is it might be a weather game played in Cleveland. So we got to keep an eye on the weather here, because anytime you can reduce it to more of a running game, that's going to favor the Browns considering how they make up their offense. But if the weather seems fine, I think the Buccaneers are a great play.
Okay. Very, very good. A lot of great information there for that game, as now we're getting to where the teams are starting to focus on the playoffs and getting there. 2 teams that are very much alive in the playoff discussion. And Mikey, I'm starting with you. I'm talking about the Bengals, who went to Pittsburgh last week, got it done against the Steelers. They're laying 1.5 against a Tennessee team, a Titans team that has a count it 3-game lead in the AFC South over Indianapolis. So they're rolling as far as the playoffs are concerned, but they're the underdogs here. Tell me why.
Yeah, this team doesn't get respected in the market. They find ways to win. They find ways to cover. You know, I think this is an interesting spot to go play them at this point. I think we're still waiting on some news from Ja'Marr Chase that could definitely swing things a little bit here. But it's really, can you stop Derrick Henry? They're a better team with Ryan Tannehill in there. Look, I think it's going to be a super competitive game. I have zero edge. I think the market's got this one dead on. You could possibly lean towards Tennessee. If Tennessee were 2.5, I think they'd be a decent teaser leg at 8.5. Still could get there now at the 1.5 to 7.5. It's still doable. But mostly think the market is correct here. I think the biggest thing that I could get to would be a slight lean on the over 42.5, as I think this should be 43.5 or 44.
And that's where I was going to go for you, RJ, that the Titans, because they haven't been an over team, it's come down quite a bit in a lot of their games. But against this team, everybody's been able to score, and the Bengals have been trending up as well. Would you like also like the over?
I think it's a solid play, especially if we get Ja'Marr Chase back in this game, which I know is a possibility. They're kind of eyeing this game as the one he returns for. That would be huge, and I think if that happens, you do get the 2.5, Mikey, and then you can tease the Titans through the 8.5 because I think he moves the line that much. It might even get to 3 if people keep piling on to the Bengals at 2.5 because the Titans don't really have a ton of believers, even though they just keep winning games. The statistics say they're not a great team, but you know they're able to do all the little things well and pull these wins off. Their offense leaned on the pass game to tear through the Green Bay defense. Treylon Burks coming, having his breakout party, finally emerging. That would be great for this offense that lost A.J. Brown, obviously, in the offseason, if he can continue what he did in that game. Since his defense got worked in the first half by Pittsburgh, and it's a Pittsburgh offense that's pretty limited with Kenny Pickett at quarterback, they did show up in the second half, but they can't pressure the quarterback. Their sack rate is 29th in the league, same as what Tennessee's offense is allowing sacks, their sack rate. So if Tennessee's offense was playing a team with a good pass rush, I'd be more worried about them. But I don't think the Bengals can take advantage of this matchup. Second straight on the road for Cincinnati. Tennessee playing on extra rest. I think they win this game at home. I'm hoping the line does go up a little bit and it does get to 3 and we can play the Titans because that's the way I'm leaning.
Jeffrey in the chat says Titans keep upending expectations. That's a great way of saying it. They absolutely do. Every week, we do not respect them. And every week, they either are very, very competitive or they win. Hence, being 7-3. All right, those are the 7-1 o'clock games on Sunday. We have 4 at 4. But before we do that, we need to hear from one of our incredible partners here at Sportsline and CBS.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back. For those watching on YouTube, thank you. For those listening on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, thank you as well. This is our Week 12 NFL Mega Preview with the Stoic One, RJ White, and of course, M Squared from Nashville, Tennessee. Let's continue, gentlemen. 4:05 on Sunday, Chargers laying 4.5 after blowing a late lead against the Kansas City Chiefs. They're traveling to Arizona, total 47.5. I don't even know, RJ, where to start with this one because both teams have issues. But the Chargers got Keenan Allen back, Mike Williams back, and nearly beat the number one seed in the AFC. Your thoughts?
And the Cardinals look terrible, and that's why this line has jumped up to 4.5. But they'll probably get Marquise Brown back in this game. They might get Kyler Murray back. We'll see how he progresses. I've said that I think Colt McCoy is fine running that offense. He stays more in what Kingsbury's trying to do with the offense rather than improvising. So even though he's not anywhere near the athlete that Kyler Murray is, he's able to have success in the offense in certain matches. We saw him lay waste to the Rams the week before and then couldn't do anything against a very, very good 49ers team. I liked catching a bunch of points with the Chargers in some of those matchups. Like we're 5.5, 6 against the Chiefs. I like playing them there. When you get them to be a favorite of more than 3, that's when I'm looking to fade them. They've had 2 wins of more than 3. They won by 10 in Houston, which congratulations, anybody can do at this point. They won by 5 at home against the Raiders in Week 1. We thought it was going to be a better Raiders team. Turns out they're not very good. The Chargers defense continues to look brutal. I think even Colt McCoy can score points on them if Arizona has their receiver back in Brown, which I think they will. I expect the Chargers to play a field goal game kind of no matter who they're playing, unless it's a basement level team like Houston, either way. So always expect the Chargers to stay in that 3-4 point range. And if they're laying 4.5, I like playing the other side. So right now it's a lean on the Arizona just because I think we might be able to get some more value as the week goes on.
It is amazing how they tend to figure out a way to stay in that particular window. But Mikey, when we look at it now, the Chargers would not be in the playoffs at 5-5. There is no wiggle room for them, but As always, we're concerned with the number. And when you're laying 4.5, you've got to know that Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are going to have a big game for you. This is their season, in my opinion. What do you think they'll do on the road in the desert?
Yeah, it's their season, and we got to question how healthy they truly are still, especially on Mike Williams, where he limped off the field with an injury against Kansas City. They played a great game against Kansas City. When they play Kansas City, it is essentially their Super Bowl. They are a unique matchup for Kansas City that Kansas City struggles with. Kansas City still wins games against them, but they struggle to cover and really pull away. The value is definitely on Arizona here. It really doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. I love that the receiver group that they have out there should be healthy and ready to go. Look, this game, I make it 1.5 for the Chargers. I do, like RJ, think we might get this all the way up to 5, though, at some point, especially if Kyler Murray is ruled out and the market reacts by 1.5 again. So I'm holding off on it at this point, but I do like the Cardinals here. I think it's the very clear side in this one.
C-Rad in the chat said, bit of an overreaction on the 38-10 final. I hate backing the Chargers. Did you watch the game? Did you watch the game? It was awful. They were terrible. Every single offense, defense, special teams, terrible. It is what it is, but you might be right, C-Rad. You might be right. All right, this next game, it's important for one team. And that's the Seahawks. They're tied for first. We haven't seen them in 2 weeks, so it's easy to forget how good they were playing before they went to Germany and lost to Tom Brady and the Bucs, despite a late surge at the end, almost getting back into the game. Seahawks are laying 3.5 against the Raiders, whose season is over. When you look at them, even though they won last week, they are 3-7. That's not going to get it done. It felt good to have Devontae Adams wide open in overtime. How that happened, I have no idea. But Mikey, to me, this is Seahawks, or I can't do anything with it. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong here. You know, the Seahawks still have one of the better home field advantages in the NFL. I don't like where this number is sitting for that. I think the market's still disrespecting them, giving the Raiders, I guess, maybe fair credit. I think it's mostly disrespect on the Seattle side still. But I make this number -5 in this particular situation. I think that's where it should be. I think they ultimately find a way to get the win. I don't know if they're going to end up covering it at this point. I do expect the Raiders to put up a decent fight, especially having Devontae Adams healthy. Having a big win like that definitely does a lot of great things for that kind of a team. Again, numbers 5, not going to play it yet at this point. I think it's one that there could be interesting in-game opportunities for it on betting Seattle to ultimately win the game. But yeah, I'm not comfortable where the number is right now at this point.
Okay. Well, RJ, the Raiders last week, the Broncos offense was not good, but what they did do well was run it pretty well. And Seahawks have this little running back who's turned into a stud. He might be an all-pro in his rookie season. We'll have to see. And I'm talking about Kenneth Walker. Do you think he'll have a field day this week against this defense?
Yeah, I think he should. I think that this is a great matchup for him. This line was 4. The market pushed down to 3.5. I'm begging you, please push it to 3 so I can lay 3 with Seattle in the spot. This is a great time to fade Vegas after stealing a win in Denver with a late field goal, the very end of the game, then that touchdown in overtime. Seattle's offense is 5th in pass yards per play, 7th in rush yards per play. I mean, they could run the ball with Kenneth Walker. They could throw it all over the Vegas defense too, which can't get pressure. I'm not sure how Vegas slows them down at all. Seattle's defense didn't really play well against Tampa, but they did limit the points in that game to keep it close. They're capable of holding Vegas under 20 points. So even though the power ratings say this line is probably about fair, I think the spot is much better for Seattle and they're going to win pretty easily. So I'm waiting to play it, hoping that the market wants to push it all the way down to 3. And then I think Seattle's definitely a play at that point.
And a reminder, that game along with the Chargers and the Cardinals, 4:05 Eastern. I know I get tweets all the time. Oh, my goodness, I didn't have enough money to bet 4:05. I was waiting. Money management, but 2 games at 4:05. Then 2 games at 4:25. This next one, and Mikey, I can't even believe this number. Our Chiefs, they're rolling. We're 8-2. The number one seed looked good coming back late against the Chargers team. You knew they couldn't stop them late. They're laying 14.5. At Arrowhead, at home against the Rams, who have been, let's just be honest, not a good football team this year. Matthew Stafford's been in and out of the lineup. He has concussion issues. Their running backs have had issues. Their wide receivers have had issues. Cooper Kupp is out for several weeks. The season's over for the Rams. The total sitting at 44 is the number too big, Mikey.
Yes, I think it is. I'm not going to play the Rams plus 14 and a half, though. I just don't, not a situation I want to get into at this point with a team that doesn't really have anything to play for. So I'm going to stay off of it. The computer tells me this number should be 12. I think a lot of computers are probably going to give you a number very, very similar to that. You're going to have to pay the tax with the Chiefs at home in this particular spot. The question is, how much do they want to keep the foot on the pedal, especially knowing how many injuries they've had on the offensive side of the football recently? Do we have a conservative game plan once we are up 2 to 3 scores in this game? So Kansas City's going to win the game. They are definitely a threat to win this one by 3+ scores, but I can't get there based on where the computer is. And again, knowing what week of the season it is and the motivation on both sides. So I'm not going to touch it, but if you blindly follow the computer, you should be playing 14 and a half with the Rams.
Oh God, I can't do that, RJ. Can you?
Before you play the Rams here at plus 14 and a half, think to yourself, would I play the Texans at the Chiefs plus 14 and a half? Because the Rams without Matthew Stafford, if he can't play in this game, are basically the Texans. Their offense is terrible. Their defense is falling apart, fell apart against New Orleans, even though New Orleans is dealing with injuries there. Kansas City, I don't think they run up the score, so that's the one thing that worries me about just playing them at 14 and a half. But this Rams team is terrible. Line's too big for me to take Kansas City. No interest in backing the Rams. My lean here would be the under, just because I don't think the Rams can score points.
All right. Again, very short takes because it's a very short take game. It's Chiefs or nothing. Maybe a few props. As Mikey said it earlier, if a game starts to get blown out, the Chiefs are probably the best team in the entire NFL at just killing the clock in the fourth quarter. They're magical at those 11-play, 80-yard drives, 9 minutes, and you're like, oh, my God, Travis Kelce, give me one more catch. And then it doesn't happen. All right, last game at 4:25 on Sunday. Total 43. The number is 9. And I got to tell you, RJ, in a vacuum, and I know that we're not supposed to do that, but if that 49ers team that we watched last night plays every single week, they will be in the Super Bowl. They will be in the Super Bowl. The Saints are coming to San Francisco at a bad, bad, bad time. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to go against the 49ers considering what we looked at. The thing is, if you do go against them, you're getting, you know, the Saints playing a team on a short week that came off a big divisional win here, probably thinking that they are headed to the Super Bowl. So maybe you catch them a little sleepy here. The Saints defense was decimated by injuries last week. Stafford actually played pretty well before the injury, even considering he didn't have many weapons to throw to. He had a long bomb to Tutu Atwell and not much else you could do there, but his numbers were actually pretty good. But in that game, Dalton was the difference. And if he can be the difference here and have another good game, after two terrible games leading into that game, that win last week, that would be a huge bounce back for him. But this is a tough matchup here against San Francisco. They can shut down the run. They can get pressure. I don't know if the Saints score too many points. I think playing under a New Orleans team total, probably at 16 and a half, hopefully at plus odds, would make the most sense in this game. I think San Francisco can probably cover if they want, but I don't know if they're going to score enough and run up the score. So only way I'm kind of looking at this one is Saints team total under if I play it.
Yeah, Mike, it kind of feels like it's a get in, get the win, and move on down because they're tied for first place. They have no wiggle room either, but you don't want to get anybody hurt against a team that you probably should beat by picking the number if you played all 60 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I think the number on this one should be 7.5. You're paying a little bit of a tax here after that big win. It is a short week, like RJ mentioned. Not only is it a short week, it's an awkward week, right? You've got all the holiday travel. They had the travel of traveling to Colorado Springs before traveling to Mexico City, playing the game at altitude, big emotional win. They had a few big plays in that game because Arizona's just a massive pass funnel to tight ends, got George Kittle going a little bit, made the offense look a heck of a lot better than maybe they really are. Look, I agree with RJ completely here. I think that they win the game. I think it is going to be between 7 and 10 points. It may not be the full 10 to cover this number. I don't think they're really going to care too much about that. So I think the best look, if you're determined to play this game, is going to be the Saints team total under. I'm not going to get to it yet. It could be an interesting live bet opportunity on an under as well. The hope there would be we see an early drive score of some kind. I still think this game settles into a little bit of a defensive battle. So the hope would be we have a live score quickly that inflates the number just a little bit.
If you are brand new to the show, watching it live right now or watching it on demand, here's a little thing that you can tap into. If two of my crew members agree on the same play, I encourage you to play it. And they both just said Saints team total under. These are two of the greatest minds in America today for NFL football. Period. End of story. All right. Those are all the 4 o'clock games. We have a, at least as far as brands are concerned, gentlemen, we have a really good Sunday night game. 2 weeks ago, the Packers, we come back and beat the Cowboys. Then they come right back to earth and lay an absolute egg last week. They're traveling to Philadelphia. The Eagles, sometimes when you win the way that they won, RJ, it can lift you up when you're a big favorite. You're trailing the entire game, and then all of a sudden, you get a late score. Jalen Hurts, they win by one. It's about winning the game. Then their head coach was very emotional after the game because he's a Frank Reich disciple. So the Eagles have motivation. They have emotion. And now they're favored by 7, total 46.5. With all that being said, and the hype, is this going to be a hype game?
Yeah, and I think it really gets them focused, too, not just for getting that win that they probably thought the game was going to be a little easier than that on the road, but they were able to steal that win at the very end. So good for them. But then you look at what the Cowboys did when you're reviewing what happens in the rest of the league. Like, we can't take the foot off the gas at all in this division because they're going to catch us if we do. So you have to come out and be your best every week. And I think they can do that against this Packers team. Philly's getting beat up for their run defense after Jordan Davis got hurt. I thought that that was a key injury for them when it happened, and they were awful against the run the next game. But they had 3.1 yards per rush against Washington. Even though Washington racked up a lot of rush yards, they weren't efficient doing it. And then 3.8 against Indy with Jonathan Taylor and the supposedly upgraded offensive line with Jeff Saturday coaching them. I don't think their rush defense has been awful. Now you get the veterans that come in with Sue and Joseph, and they're going to have another week of conditioning. I think they'll play pretty well here. Green Bay's offense couldn't run against Tennessee. Only 4.6 yards per play overall, complete on offense. I think Philly has the edge in that matchup when you talk about offense versus defense. Philly's offense has now struggled in two tough matchups. The Colts have a very good defense. This Green Bay defense got lit up by Ryan Tannehill in the passing game, and he's not 100%. You know, he's still recovering from that high ankle sprain, and he was able to do whatever he wanted to in the pass game in Green Bay, you know, which would be a tough environment if Green Bay had a decent team. My power rating has Philly as a plus 17, 7 points better than average, which means at home, on a neutral field, they should be 7 points against an average team. At home, against a team I don't think is average in the Packers, they should be laying over a touchdown. I think this line should be closer to 10. My lean is the Eagles. I'm just hoping it goes back to 6.5. So wait a little bit, see if we can get a 6.5 again, or shop around, see if you can get 6.5. And I definitely play the Eagles at 6.5.
You know, Mikey, RJ just said something that blew my mind last week. We talked last week on the show, did we not, that maybe the Packers will look at their fourth quarter and say, this is how we can play. We can move the ball in the air. Let's try it. And they went right back to the same game script, long, take the play clock down, try to run the ball, didn't work, try to run the ball, didn't work. And they just played awful. I don't know why they do not try a pass-first offense. Is this the week?
I mean, it might be. I think that they're still going to try to get Aaron Jones involved. AJ Dillon's still going to get some touches here. I do still think they run the clock and have one of the slower paces of play in the NFL. As far as the game goes, I make the Eagles -8 in this game on their home field. They've had a couple questionable weeks back to back. I think the most encouraging thing is Jonathan Taylor, outside of like one big run, really didn't do a whole lot to tear up this defense. And that's ultimately why they probably end up winning the game still. They played pretty poorly, but they were able to contain Jonathan Taylor just enough and let Jalen Hurts do his thing. I like the spot for them, though. Primetime game here, back at home, a game that they really must win. The team needs a big, convincing win at this point, and I think they get it here. I don't think the Green Bay is well equipped to deal with all of the ways that the Eagles can hurt you. I expect Jalen Hurts to run just a little bit more himself in this particular matchup as well. So like RJ, I don't hate laying the 7. I'd like it at 6.5. If you want to break a little rule and play the teaser here, bring this down to 1. I don't hate it if you want to go pair it with some of those other games that we talked about throughout the stream. But ultimately, I think the Eagles get the win, and it could be a very big win here for them.
We have a lot of new names in the chat. So real quickly, Mike, we haven't done it in a couple of weeks. Kind of remind the universe what your rules are on teasers and the numbers, please.
Yeah, I mean, well, typically what we're looking for on teasers is you want to find teams ideally at home, but really anywhere, +1.5, +2.5, where you're teasing that number through 7, through 8. Ideally, you want to get them up to 8.5. You know, you can have the 6.5. You can bring it down to a half if you really, really want to. I would typically do it here at 7 as well. Where you don't necessarily want to get into it is teasing through the number of 0. Game can't end on 0, really, so you're never going to want to do that. So what I mean by that is when you see a line at -4, -3, that's a game that would never qualify as a teaser situation for you.
Right, because you take it to 2, but you're losing a full point, so you don't get 6. So that's what Mikey is telling you. Listen to my guys. The education and the entertainment is next level. It all matters. And you never know when you go, well, wait, Mikey just talked about that. Oh, RJ just talked about that. We're a team. We're a crew for a reason. And we've made it to the final game of week 12. And if the Colts won any shot, ladies and gentlemen, at a division title, they're 3 games back of Tennessee at 4-6. The Fighting Jeff Saturdays, 1-1 since Mr. Saturday took over. They're at home Monday night. They're laying 2.5. Total 39. Steelers coming to town. RJ, this is one of your best bets. What do you like?
I have this as the second leg of my teaser. Mike was wondering what to tease with. This has got to be it for me, teasing the Steelers up to 8.5 in this game. Indy, you said they're 1-1 under Saturday. It's got to feel like 0-2 after they had that win taken away from them against one of the best teams in the league. They're not going to feel great about that. How do you shake that off and move forward and prepare for this game? What we saw in that game is the protection issues persist for Indy, which I thought was going to be the case after that Raiders game when they look good. They're playing the team with the worst sack rate in the league. Now you got TJ Watt coming to town. It's going to be much, even worse than what the Eagles had to show you there. Pittsburgh's defense 5th in rush yards per play too, so it's not like you can run the ball against them like people thought you could do against the Eagles. This game's likely on Matt Ryan's shoulders for as long as he's able to remain off the turf here. It's a tough matchup for a mediocre Pittsburgh offense, but Kenny Pickett looks like he's progressing. Really liked what I saw through a lot of that game against Cincy. They scored 30 points when all is said and done. Didn't win the game. Didn't come close to winning the game because they didn't have a great second half, but he looks better than some of the second year quarterbacks, I would say. And this is his rookie year. I like Pittsburgh's chances of winning this game against a Colts team that with a terrible offense. It's a definitely play on the Steelers at +3. If you can find it at 2.5, you got to tease it through the 3 and the 7 through teaser alley there. So Carolina and Pittsburgh is my teaser, both at +8.5.
I love teaser alley. I'm going to steal that. Teaser alley. I've never heard that before. By the way, C-Rad says, I've learned so much watching, following these two guys. Great information, as always. It's why Mikey calls it the most important hour of the entire week. It's when we don't rush through anything. We give you all of it. Now, Mikey, let me come to you. Because the Colts, we know what their game plan is going to be. It's going to be run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, try to shorten the game. It was almost successful 2 different times. The Steelers, I think they finally found somewhat of a passing offense. Pickens got into it. He looked really good. They scored a bunch of points, but they still lost, and the Bengals covered late. What do you think going to happen this week?
Yeah, look, I think the market's mostly right on the side here. -2 is where I make the game, but I love RJ's look of the teaser here. I don't see this Indianapolis team winning by the 2 full scores here. So getting this 8.5 on the teaser leg, definitely on board with that. I think the place that I'm looking most on this game, believe it or not, is the over. This thing's sitting at 39 right now. I think this number should be 41.5 bare minimum. I think we're probably looking at a game, a 23-20 type game is what I see here, which gets us over this very low number of 39. I like that it's a controlled environment in the dome here. There's still a number of big plays, including Jonathan Taylor on the one side. But ultimately, the way Pitt has been playing here, I think that they're going to be able to find some success scoring points in this game. One thing Indianapolis has typically been very good at is playing to the level of their competition. They game plan for that a lot. But they ultimately, we saw them play a competitive game with obviously a very different coaching staff and look against Kansas City early in the year. I think that they're more than capable of doing it. They just did it with the Eagles as well. So I think this game's competitive, and I think it's competitive enough that it pushes it over the total of 39. So if I had to play it, that's where I'd be looking.
And a reminder, the Steelers scored 30 last week against the Bengals, so they're starting to move. They are starting to move. All right, it's that time of the day, our Week 12 NFL Mega Recap, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook and Casino. Looks a little something like this. RJ, start us off. What are your best bets?
I have the Lions plus 9.5. I really like what they've done the last few weeks, and I think that even against a great Bills team at home, they're not getting enough respect. I have the Vikings at minus 2.5. Love that this came off the 3 because I think the Vikings are definitely better than the Patriots, and they have a good home field advantage that's worth 2.5 points. I have the Jets at minus 4.5. I think this is a little bit of a free roll because if Justin Fields is out, this line should be double digits. If he's in, this line should be 4.5, and I still would lean the Jets there. Then I have a teaser taking two bad teams, the Panthers and Steelers, teasing them both to plus 8.5 because they are facing bad offenses within what should be low scoring games where I don't think anybody wins by more than one score.
Mikey, talk to me.
I'm also going Vikings minus 2.5. I think this is an excellent bounce back spot on their home field here. Love the friendly number at 2.5. I make this game up to minus 5. I think it's going to be competitive, but I don't think the Patriots are able to keep up. And then Giants, Cowboys, we're going under 45.5. The Giants know the path to victory here is not a shootout. Both of these teams are going to look to run the football, keep a controlled, competitive divisional game where the teams are incredibly familiar with each other. I think this number should be set at 42.5.
All right, very, very good. And the Maestro, he's on two plays. The Bucs minus 3 in Cleveland coming out that big win in Germany. Their offense looked to be getting things going. And then the Dolphins minus 12. It's already up to 13. The guys talked about it. Once it goes over 14, that might be way too high to play. But the Dolphins are flying high. Maybe a team total, something you can look at. But Maestro likes them when it was at 12. And that is your NFL Week 12 recap brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook and Casino. Now, we like to end every single one of our shows asking my cappers what the number one thing that they're looking forward to in the next week, this week. I completely lost my train of thought. RJ, save me. What are you looking forward to?
I mean, same thing every week, week 12 or whatever, this week of the season, Thanksgiving football. You get that awesome Thursday. You eat, you unbuckle the pants. It's the Cowboys game is on in the second half, and we'll see if it's a competitive game here. But three good games there, two of them that where I really like somebody. So I'm going to have my interest peak on all day Thursday, which is the one time of the season where you can say that for NFL.
Chris Rock says 7 hours of Thanksgiving football. Thank you, NFL, for giving us 3 games instead of 2. Mikey, what are you looking forward to this week?
Yeah, like RJ, we obviously always look forward to Thanksgiving football. But for me, it's got to be Bengals-Titans. I think this game is just massive in the AFC. We could see Ja'Marr Chase back. I want to see these two teams play again here this year. And again, just massive implications in the AFC.
I'm actually looking forward to the Packers and the Eagles because I really feel like the days of Green Bay getting these primetime games when they're bad with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback are becoming very, very few and very slim. And I don't know if we're going to see this moving forward. And this is an all-time talent that has had the worst season of his entire career. He could have a special night going to Philadelphia, and I'm anxious to see if Green Bay can do what they did to Dallas against the Eagles. All right. This is a great way to start our week. Don't forget, if you're watching this on demand, we have primetime shows. Every single night there is a primetime game, except for Thanksgiving this week. However, our morning show will be extended. It will be longer. We'll have picks on all 3 games. We'll have props on all 3 games. We will not have a live show at night, but Sunday night we will. And, of course, Monday night before Steelers and the Colts, we will as well. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Travel safe if you're going to grandma's house. Travel safe if you're staying home. We care about all of you. This is the most special time of the year. My folks are here for the first time since my dad had his heart transplant. So it matters. Be good to your family. Be good to your crew. Be good to everybody. And I can say there's only one thing left to do. And I believe you all know what that is. You've got your marching orders. Let's take all of these NFL tickets straight to the pay window. For my entire crew, damn it, do I love them all. The stoic one, RJ White, M Square from Nashville, Tennessee, and Jake the Snake running the board always on the ones and the twos. I am the coach. We're here every single week breaking down every single NFL game on the Early Edge. Good luck.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is
finally here. And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.